It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's Food Friday. This week, we'll try to bring some glamour back to the humble root vegetables.
But first, Wisconsin's Democratic candidate for governor, Mary Burke, unveiled the first ad of her campaign. Let's take a listen.
Mary Burke. Today, 930 people work at Trek, the great Wisconsin company she helped build. And when she was Commerce Secretary, there were 72,000 more jobs than today. So why Scott Walker's RGA spending $1 million attacking her? Under Walker, unemployment's up, job prospects are down to 45th in the nation, and the layoffs continue. There's a better way. A strong economy starts with a strong middle class, and that's what Mary Burke's working on every day.
Governor Walker was quick to respond with a counter ad, which he called a fact check of Mary Burke's ad.
Let's fact check Mary Burke's very first TV ad. Burke says, under Walker, unemployment's up.
Quite the contrary, Mary. When Governor Walker took office, the unemployment rate was 7.8%. Today it's 6.3, the lowest it's been since 2008. Over 100,000 more jobs. So why would you start your campaign out with a lie? The facts? Unemployment's going down under Walker. And we can't trust Mary Burke.
Barry Burden joins us now to break down the ads and whether they make a difference. He's professor of political science at UW-Madison. Barry, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So it looks like we've got the opening salvo in the battle for the airwaves with the first Mary Burke ad and then the Scott Walker rebuttal. What do you make of this quick 1-2 punch from the Democratic candidate and Governor Walker?
You know, we just wait for that first ad to be aired by either side, and then the other a campaign feels obligated to respond, and suddenly we're in an arms race. So I think we're off to the races. It's only March, but we should expect these kinds of ads, this back and forth, to continue from now till November.
Is it typically that quick a turnaround? You see an ad and a response, you know, just the same day the original ad comes out?
Well, the Walker campaign was clearly prepared for this. They had done their opposition research on Mary Burke's background, had that ad or some version of it, the pieces of it ready to go, and could respond quickly. So Burke should be on the lookout. If she's willing to offer fire, she's going to get it in return pretty quickly.
Now, this was her first campaign ad, but she had been apparently responding to ads that the Republican Governors Association had been airing against her so far that have been airing already. What kind of difference did those ads make?
Well, you know, Burke is mostly unknown to the electorate at this point. The most recent Marquette poll showed that something like 70% of the people it interviewed didn't have a strong enough opinion about her one way or the other to say whether they viewed her favorably or unfavorably. So she really needs to get into the business of introducing herself to the electorate. She has some time to do that, but it has to happen in relatively short order. And an introductory ad like the one she aired is a way to do that. And I think the fear is that if the Walker campaign gets off the marks first, it can define her before she has an opportunity to do it.
Now, both the ads that we heard there, they focus on jobs and the economy, obviously, from very different perspectives. But will these be the predominant issues in the race?
I think they will. It's going to be about dueling statistics. That's what our campaigns have come down to. Which set of numbers would you like to present? Which set do you believe? They do point in different directions, depending on the comparisons you make and what indicator you want to look at.
Well, let's talk about a little bit the numbers that are presented in those ads. Mary Burke saying that unemployment is up under Governor Walker. Governor Walker saying not so fast and characterizing Mary Burke as someone who can't be trusted. Can you give us a sense of where these dueling numbers come from?
Yeah, the specific comparisons really matter here. In a way, Burke is responding to that first round of ads from the Walker group, the Republican Governors Association, arguing that Wisconsin lost jobs while she was Secretary of Commerce in the Doyle administration. Her ad comes back and says, actually, when I was Secretary of Commerce, unemployment was lower than it is today under Scott Walker. The Walker campaign has now come back and said, actually, unemployment was relatively high when Walker took over as governor, but it has come down while he has been in office. So I think all of them are probably technically correct, but there's just a sleight of hand going on to try to emphasize comparisons in a way that are most favorable to their side.
Are they, in a way, comparing apples and oranges, slightly different time frames?
They are. Burke is saying, look at the era in which I was in the administration and compare that to today, and things were worse off. The Walker campaign on the other side is saying, compare the first day I took office, which is what I inherited, to where we are today. things are better. And I think voters are just going to have to decide for themselves which of those comparisons seems fairest.
So in terms of ads that tend to get start, you know, lighter, and then you see more and more of them as this election season goes along, how effective are they in swaying the public?
Well, it depends which side you're on. So I think for someone like Scott Walker, the electorate has such strong feelings about him at this point. They know him. Everyone has an opinion. More ads that he runs about himself to kind of introduce himself to the electorate are probably not going to have much effect. He's going to be more effective in trying to nail down Burke as an undesirable replacement. Burke, on the other hand, is really unknown to most voters and I think has a long way to go to make a favorable impression. And so some introductory biographical ads to tout positive things about her record could really be useful. The trouble is she has this candidate on the other side who's trying to interrupt that process, and so it's going to be a tough road for her.
Now, in the recall election, there were a lot of people who credited the pro-Walker ads, and there were a lot of them, with swaying some of the way public sentiment went and ultimately the recall election. Do you think that ads like that will be used in a similar way this time around?
I don't know. You know, there's a very small segment of the electorate who is undecided about whether they like Scott Walker and would like to see him stay in office or see him removed. So really, I still think much of this is about how his opponent is defined. If she comes across as viable, credible, active, able to do things, fix things that we think are wrong today, she will have a shot. If the Walker campaign is able to undermine her message or she stumbles along the way and isn't able to do that, then I think Walker, because of the money he has, the resources and the experience he has in running two campaigns here statewide, will probably end up being victorious.
Is there such a thing as ad fatigue? I know by the end of an election campaign, pretty much everyone will say, yes, you know, we're tired of all the ads. But is it cumulative? Do we start out tired of them?
Oh, I don't think anybody likes even that first negative ad they see. it's a little bit like winter. Maybe there's a novelty of that first snowflake in November. By now, we're ready to be done with it. It doesn't take much of the stuff to make you tired. And, you know, campaign ads, people do complain about them. They turn the channel or mute the television when they're on. But they're run for a reason, and it's that they're at least somewhat effective. They're effective at getting out your voters if you're running ads for yourself. They're effective sometimes at demobilizing your opponents. If you can raise questions about the other party's nominee, you can try to just sort of discourage the enthusiasm of their supporters. And then hopefully you can actually sway some people to your side and bring them over from supporting your opponent to supporting you.
Now, the ads that we just heard, both from Governor Walker and from Mary Burke, they both had a similarity, and it was sort of your standard, it seemed to me, campaign ad with the narration, a voice with gravitas, and some facts thrown at you. There was nothing that was really unusual about them. Is that typical of the kind of ad that's most effective?
The short answer is I don't know. You know, those ads are a little bit of sugar, a little bit of spice. So you offer something good about yourself. There's a positive image of the candidate. There's nice music and some mention of their accomplishments in office or in the private sector. And then you offer a contrast, and the screen turns dark. The music's more ominous, and present some statistics or something negative about your opponent, and then maybe in the end come back to yourself. So you're trying to offer different things, maybe to different voters, a positive message about who you are and something to worry about in the opponent.
In terms of the tone, Scott Walker's ad seemed a little bit more chatty, a little more personal. Is that something that you think appeals to people?
Yeah, you know, every voter has different things that they care about. Walker has strong supporters and strong opponents who may not be moved regardless of new information that comes out. But there is a segment there that I think thinks about him as a person, whether he's likable, approachable, reasonable, you know, has good judgment, all the things you'd look for in someone in public office. And that can be conveyed, accurately or not, in campaign advertisements. So you see, even in the Burke ad, there's an image of her sort of walking through what looks like a factory in an office of some kind, and, you know, mention of her working with Trek Bicycle. So there's a message about who she is as a person that's trying to be conveyed there, just as it is in the Walker ad.
Well, as you mentioned, the Marquette poll shows that Mary Burke is lacking in statewide recognition. Are the ads enough to get her back in the game, or is it going to take something more than that?
It's going to take everything she's got. It's not an impossible task, but it's uphill. I think about a comparison we might make between her campaign and that of Ron Johnson when he first ran for U.S. Senate in 2010. at this time in the year, he was an unknown quantity. I'm not sure that he was a candidate at this point. But by May, he was suddenly a known figure. He had wrapped up the Republican nomination, and he ended up defeating a Democratic incumbent in Russ Feingold. So it's possible, if you've got the resources and a good team and a good set of advertisements, the right strategy, to be successful. You've just got to have a lot of tailwinds and not make any mistakes.
Well, Barry, thank you so much for joining us.
Good talking with you.
That was Barry Burden, professor of political science at UW-Madison.